This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Oh, praise God. My friend, if you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you know your Creator, our Heavenly Father, then when you die, you're not going down. You are going to fly away to be with Him. And you know, we're not just going to fly away. The Bible says that there will be a new heaven, a new earth, and we get a new body. Can it get any better than that? Today, my friends, we have an interesting guest, a guest that I have been waiting and waiting for to get here. This man I met at the Voice of the Prophets in Mechanicsburg, and this man told me things, had such insight, it really impressed me. He gave me a recording of what prophecy he gave to me. I think we call that personal prophecy. I took it home and listened to it over and over again. And my friend, I take prophecy serious because it's God's heart to our ears. And today, here he is, Jonathan Seaver.
Good to be with you, Jim.
Praise God. It's great to have you. And you're out there where, in Chicago?
Yeah, I'm here just in the north suburbs of Chicago.
Okay, you've been in ministry a long time.
Yeah, I've been a youth pastor about 6 or 7 years now, and I've also done trips overseas, about 10 or 11 trips overseas now.
Wow, that's something. We are interested in what you have for us.
Yeah, well, I've heard a lot of good talks, I'm sure a lot of the listeners have, on prophecy or seen it demonstrated in churches and conferences, and a lot of us are going back to 9-to-5 jobs and are struggling to find out, how does that fit? How do I just go up to a coworker or a manager and prophesy? How do you do that when you're not in church, but you're actually at work? And so I just want to share some stories to increase people's faith, give them courage that it is possible to bring prophetic ministry to the workplace. I think one of the first examples that I had when I started working at a medical sales job was new. I was young. I was probably 23 years old. And there was an older woman who was a widow who said she had cried every day for 2 years since her husband died. And so I was praying for her. I had a vision one night, and it was of her walking through a dark forest, her husband being taken away, and then finally, near the end of her life, coming out into a clearing and this big tree of life and light, and her experiencing fulfillment and peace for the first time. And so I was scared. I've never prophesied to someone at work, but I knew it was from God. And so finally, after about 2 months, I got up the courage. No one was there. It was just me and her. I said, I believe God showed me something. Can I share it with you? And she said, yes. I assumed she was a nominal Christian, but I wasn't sure. Wasn't even sure. I assumed she was not a Christian. But she had said she went to a church group sometimes. And so I shared it with her, and I said, and as a Christian, I believe that the key to finding this fulfillment and peace and light is that that God sent Jesus Christ to die for us and that we can have relationship. So I shared that. I was a little nervous, and the first thing she says is, do you know I'm a Muslim?
Oh, my.
And I said, no, I didn't. And I was very caught off guard because she had said she had a church group. And she said, yes, I converted about 25 years ago. And so I didn't know what her reaction would be. And she said, well, you just made my weekend.
Oh, my.
And so I didn't get to talk to her much after that. A few months later, I find out she has stage 4 cancer, has to go on permanent work release. And so I'm thinking, God, I stepped out in faith saying there's fulfillment, there's peace coming. And now she has stage 4 cancer and is dying. And so I didn't get any response from her. She didn't work there anymore. But about 8 months later, I got an email saying all the physical problems she's having, that her fingers are turning black, just pain, can hardly move. And then at the end of the paragraph, she said, how are you doing? And she said, Jesus has called me to return to his fold. And then she signed it. And I just started crying right there where I was reading my email.
Oh,
and I don't know what God did. I never heard from her again except from an email saying that she had passed away. but God did something through that vision that after 25 years in another religion, she was brought back to Jesus right before she passed away. It was amazing.
As you're telling me this, I've had two experiences like that, and I never looked at them as prophecy. When I told the people what the Lord gave me, I was afraid, and it looked like everything that I said was wrong. About a year later, the person called and says, what you told me, it became true. So I don't want to take any time away from you, but I recognize that. I never thought about it as being prophecy at that time.
Yeah, and they accepted. A lot of the times the people that receive it the best are non-believers. I've had people of other religions at my work who I've shared prophetic words with that have approached me saying, I'm going through a lot. Has God showed you any visions lately? And I've had to say no, but I'll go seek the Lord, and then have come back and given them accurate words or things about what was going on in their family life, or things about their children that gave them direction. And so I actually was at a point where people were seeking me out, non-believers, for prophetic direction from the Lord.
Now, you were saying something before the program about a prayer of activation.
Yeah, I do. I have a heart for prophetic activation, and what I mean by that is people hearing God's voice, speaking it to others, and especially for people who have said they've never done that before. And it just seems like, I don't know if it's the time we're living in or what it is, but it just seems so many people are ripe to begin prophesying, and not just once a year, but on a regular basis. I had a friend come up to me once and said, I heard you know about spiritual gifts. Can we get together? We got together. I laid my hands on him, prayed. He started speaking in tongues right there. That night, he got the first vision of his life.
Oh, my.
And then a few weeks later, I had another friend saying, I feel like there's more to God. Laid hands on him, prayed. He started prophesying, saw a vision for the first time in his life. And even just in the last 2 months, my two roommates, both of them said, I've never prophesied. And I said, you'll be prophesying constantly by the end of the year. That's what I told them. We laid hands on one of them. He started prophesying, and he can almost prophesy on demand now. That was only 2 months ago.
Oh, my.
And sometimes God will do do things to build people's faith, because they think, maybe I'm just making this up. Maybe I'm imagining. About 3 weeks ago, I was praying for my roommate, and I said, God wants to release visions to you. And he said, I've never had that before. And so we prayed. We laid hands on him, prayed for impartation. And I said, what do you see? God gave him the exact same vision that he gave me. He had the exact same vision of a tree with a swing, and then he gave an interpretation.
Oh,
but it was encouragement to my roommate, to my friend, because he wasn't sure if he was seeing God, and yet God gave me at the same time the exact same vision. And so it encouraged him, and he's been prophesying for the last 3 weeks.
Well, when I prophesied, I was right about everything except one thing. There was one thing that I was wrong about. I prophesied the person would be healed in their normal mind and be in their kitchen singing, and I thought I told them the next day. Well, they called me within a year and said they're back in their kitchen singing and in their right mind.
Wow. Praise God. Yeah, the Bible talks about we do a lot of things, but it includes prophecy in accordance to the measure of our faith. And so if prophesy to the measure of faith. If you don't have the faith, you're not going to go out and prophesy that this is going to happen on a specific date and a specific time. You do it in accordance with the measure of your faith. For example, we were at the laundromat in May. God said, go pray for that man. I went up, started talking with him. I said, is there anything we can pray for you? He said, yeah, I just talked with my sister a few weeks ago. She said, everyone in the family has cancer. You'll probably get it soon. I'm glad my sister has never said that to me, but he started telling me he was not a believer. He had all these, a mixture of religious beliefs, and he started telling me all the health things that he was going to do to beat the cancer and herbs and things like that.
Oh,
we said, well, can we pray for you? I called my two friends over. He grabs our hands right in the middle of the laundromat and bows his head, and people are walking by. And he wasn't ashamed, and so it gave us courage to just go for it. And so I just said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that curse that was spoken to you. And I don't always say that, but it's just, it was so obvious from the devil that a family member would say, you'll probably get cancer.
Yes.
He gets afraid. Mm-hmm. And that gave me faith that I could rebuke it. And so we bound the curse and loosed healing into his body. And I had never prayed for someone who was healed of cancer before.
Okay.
And so I just said, I think we could feel something was happening. And I said, I think God is doing something. And I didn't prophesy he was going to get healed because I didn't have the faith for it. But I said, I think God's doing something. Here's my phone number. Let me know when you get the next text, the next test from the doctor.
Okay.
So month and a half later, sitting at work at lunch break, got a text message from him. And he said, hi, I met you in the laundromat, finally through all my tests. Cancer clear, happy days, be blessed.
Praise God.
So his cancer was gone, but I didn't prophesy, well, I was trying to prophesy in accordance with the measure of my faith, but I didn't go beyond that, and yet God was still working, and he healed him and set him free of cancer.
Now that's interesting. Now there is room for error, and that gives us some freedom to practice.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would just recommend if you're just getting started in this, that to not necessarily practice out on the street or to not necessarily always get up in front of 1,000 people, but go with a few friends and just practice hearing the Lord or in a small home group setting where we're all on the same page and say, does that sound right? You know, is this going on in your life? And that way you're not damaged people while you're in this process of trying to grow.
Interesting point and a good point.
Well, as I mentioned before, I did want to just pray for an activation. I just have so much faith for this. I've seen pretty much everyone I prayed for in the last 6 or 7 years for the gift of prophecy or provisions in some way has begun being activated. And
okay.
It's not always what I expect. I prayed for a friend recently, a woman, and I was expecting for her to start being able to prophesy. But what happened is a week or two after we laid hands on her and prayed for impartation, she started getting dreams that would happen a few days later. And so I never asked for that. I just asked that the Holy Spirit fill her in a new way and that he would release the prophetic and revelation. And yet God in his creativity started releasing something that it wasn't even on my grid to pray for that yet. It was a prophetic activation through her dreams, and then they would start coming true a few days later.
Interesting. It wasn't on your grid.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah. So I would love to pray for everyone out there. If you are in the workplace and you do hear God's voice and you want to begin to bring that there, I want to pray for you. And then also, if you've never heard, you feel like you've never heard God's voice before, or you've never seen a vision or prophecy, I want to pray for you because I believe even today as you're listening, many of you will begin to either hear God in a new way for the first time, or he'll add a new spiritual gift to your life even today.
Wow, wonderful.
Just kind of pray for everyone now. Just feel free just to, even as you're listening to this, put your hands on your ears or on your eyes or on your head. In Jesus' name, that when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts to men. Lord, you said in the last days, you will pour out your spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. Father, I just ask that in your abundant mercy, that you would equip your sons and your daughters right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, send your fire upon your saints. Send your fire upon your sons and daughters, Lord. I pray dreams, visions, words of knowledge, Lord. Whether I can think of it, whether Jim can think of it, Lord, you know what you have specifically crafted for each person. And I believe, Lord, and know that even today, you will release dreams, visions, prophecies in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray for an impartation of courage in the workplace. To not be afraid, to fear not, but to step up and give the word and prophesy, share the vision for those around you. And God, I thank you that you are not limited to the church, but you care about those that have 9-to-5 jobs. Jesus, release your spirit in the workplace. Jesus, release your spirit in the streets. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to address a few of you right now have heard conflicting teachings about gifts of the Holy Spirit or are speaking in tongues. And you've heard some people say tongues happens at conversion, or you've heard you're not filled with the Holy Spirit until you have tongues. And there's different opinions and theories, and we want to get at the truth, but for some of you, I can see that there's like these theological arguments going back and forth in your mind, and some mental roadblocks from receiving from the Lord. God doesn't call us to throw out our minds, but He has given us the mind of Christ, and we know that His thoughts are not our thoughts. And I believe God just wants to remove some of the mental roadblocks to receiving. And God does want to bring clarity, but sometimes, and for some of you listening right now, He just wants you to receive. He just wants to receive. So, Lord, I just speak to those mental roadblocks. Be moved in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Receive from your Heavenly Father. Receive from your Heavenly Father. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Father, pour out the gift of tongues right now in Jesus' name. Release the gift of tongues, this prayer language of heaven, Lord, this intimacy, this communion, these groans in the Spirit. Bubble up, Lord. Bubble up, Holy Spirit, right now. Release this precious gift which you say in your word edifies us, God. It builds us up. And Lord, after receiving, I pray for truth, not mental arguments, Lord, not the theology of man, but truth which cannot be shaken.
Truth, not art.
Yes, Lord. Mm.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, I see it, Jim. People are... There's some out there that are receiving even now a gift of tongues, or you're going to see a vision or give a prophetic word for the first time today.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jim, I just want to address one more thing. I feel God's heart is He's looking for the total package. And what I mean by that is There's many people who are great speakers or have a powerful gift of prophecy or healing, and yet their characters are suffering. Or there's people with great characters who are patient and kind, and yet they have no power in their lives. And God's eyes, character and anointing are not pitted against each other. It's not a dichotomy in God's eyes. God is looking for people that flow in the power of God, move in the power of God, and walk in character. And, for me personally, I'm not too impressed with a good speech. When I see a powerful speech or when I see signs and wonders, I want to see, how does he treat his wife?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see, are the children walking with the Lord? And I want to see, once they're off stage, do they use crude language? I want to see, what are they letting in through the lamp of their body? What kind of movies or TV shows they watch? And frankly, I've seen a lot of people that are trying to develop spiritual vision and see in the spirit, and yet are defiling their body by the movies and the entertainment that they watch. And it's really amazing to me that what Christians let in through their ears and music and entertainment, and it really does cut back the gift of God in their life. So I encourage you, if you're listening and you want to hear God's voice better, you want to have words of knowledge, you want to see visions and have dreams, take a look at what you're letting in. Jesus said that the eye is the lamp of the body. He says this, if your eye is single, or other translations say, if your eye is good or pure or clean, that if you're letting in darkness, filth, and yet you're trying to see in the spirit, you're counteracting yourself.
Okay,
so I would encourage you to purify your life, rid these things that are not of God, and I promise you, you will be able to see more clearly because you're letting in light rather than darkness. And God is very passionate about people that not just walk in signs and wonders and prophecy, but every area of their life, kingdom of God has taken over that.
We invite you that you can have your way. Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. Right now I'm losing bad. You stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. Right now I just can't. It's easy to say when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can see through the fire with your mighty hand. But they say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing a little faith is all I have right now. God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing. It is well with my soul. I know you're able and I know you can sing through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away. Day. Jesus, I will cling to you, come what may, 'cause I know you're able, I know you can.
Flying with Global Air Force.